BlakeRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Yoo-hoo! I'll make you famous.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Buenas tardes, amigos.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
Who is this guy?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
The citizens of White Oaks have proclaimed this place the Devil's Den.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, shit. They'll have to do it.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Next time you address me common, I will put you on your prissy little ass.
Heartbreak Mike.
I don't quite follow what you're saying.
The Omega.
And I don't keep with whores no more.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I just think he's the luckiest white eye in New Mexico.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
I knew you'd come back.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
He's the third generation female superstar, Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
WTR Sunday Night.
I'd rather drink turpentine and piss on a brush fire.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. See, I thought we were going to come into this episode, we were going to talk the return of John Cena, the heel turn of AJ Styles, the dumbest thing I've ever seen Seth Rollins do, ever. But since that episode of Raw, all of the shit has happened.
Yeah, things... It was an eventful Saturday.
To say the least. So, yeah, we have other priorities to talk about tonight. So, starting off, I am the Omega, the Be-All End-All Bar Network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Hey, 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 what's going on, everybody?
I could say something really, really wrong there, but I'm just not.
You know what? You could. Rage.
Rage.
And of course, leading this little table of random oddities that we tended to gather is the one and only Tim Stein.
Maybe.
Or not.
Yeah, that's what happens when you don't unmute the goddamn microphone. People can't hear you.
How long have we been doing this? How long?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, okay, officially good evening. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, everybody. Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, we got a bunch of things we're going to talk about. Plus, we're just going to take a shot at NXT TakeOvers. Pick them just for shits and giggles. You can play along if you want, and if you do. I don't know that the unpaid intern is in the chat room, so you'll have to post them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
And facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, because the things are already there, and people are already posting, so we're good.
So there you go. So it's already started. People are already starting to play along. If you want to play along too, please feel free to do so. I don't think you're going to get a chance to win nothing, but, you know, it's just for fun. Why not?
And go to WrestleTalkRadio.com and vote in the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment, because the end of the first round happens tonight.
So, yeah, your vote counts, everybody. That was proven last week beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, of course, we'll be pimping that and pumping that out throughout the course of the evening as we go along here. But we got to start the show off with some really sad news and talk. The greatest has left us. The one and only all-time greatest boxer who ever lived in the 20th century, Muhammad Ali, passed away just the other night. He was a grand total of 74 years old. He was in respiratory distress as a result of, people call it Parkinson's disease. He did not have Parkinson's disease, okay? He had Parkinson's syndrome. Totally not the same thing. And of course, it's been discovered that he wound up suffering Parkinson's syndrome from all the shots to the head he took over his career. And he took a lot. I mean, he had a chin made of granite and didn't have a problem blocking punches with it in his career.
So one of the fascinating things I heard was after he passed on, when all of his organs failed, that his heart was beating for an additional 30 minutes.
That was actually reported by one of his daughters. His daughter, Hannah.
Yeah.
Tweeted that out. And, you know, not to be cliche, but we're going to be cliche. It's Muhammad Ali. Is it any surprise that his heart was the last organ to give out, that the damn thing kept going 30 minutes after all his other organs failed?
Not really surprising, yeah. But it's fascinating. It's just, again, that's the only word I can use. It's fascinating.
Muhammad Ali in the ring, he was a heavyweight, Olympic champion. He moved like a welterweight in that ring. If you ever saw any of his footwork, you'd be absolutely, absolutely astounded. The guy was so damn fast. One thing about Ali throwing his punches, by the watching his fights, by the time your brain registered, he had hit his opponent with the left hook, he'd already slipped in another two.
Yeah. I mean,
He was just absolutely lightning quick. Of course, inevitably, the debate always pops up: who would have won in the ring in their primes, Ali or Tyson? And I could always tell somebody's age when they picked Tyson.
Tyson would have bit his ear off.
Well, yeah, after getting out of jail, maybe that's how the fight would have ended. But after Tyson getting out of jail, that is. But as mean and right, coming after you and forceful and powerful as Tyson was. And yeah, the guy had bricks in his gloves. He threw a ton. That being said, Ali faced some of the world's hardest hitters in boxing, and he took it on the chin, and he stood toe to toe with guys that would make Tyson look weak. You had Ken Norton, Smokin' Joe Frazier, George Foreman, all these guys, they threw bombs. They hit you so hard, their ancestors hurt. One thing about Mike Tyson that Ali had over Tyson had a glass jaw. He had a lot of speed. He was faster with his fists than Ali. But when he would throw his punches, he would leave himself wide open. Ali, only boxer I have ever seen in the sport, able to connect solidly while backing up to avoid your punches. Ali had a good minimum 8-inch reach on Mike Tyson. He was every bit as fast as Mike Tyson. The only thing Ali never had was a real knockout punch. Sure, he got a lot of TKOs. In fact, he won the championship by knocking Sonny Liston to the canvas. Sonny Liston wasn't out cold. He got basically battered. He was battered down by the flurry of punches thrown by Muhammad Ali. And Sonny Liston was a bigger gangster than Mike Tyson ever could have been. And Ali made short work of him twice. Of course, the second fight was exceedingly controversial. And a lot of people think that Liston threw the rematch, because he owed a whole lot of gambling money to a whole lot of mafia people. That debate will never be settled. But I don't think any of you guys ever saw Ali fight, did you?
No. I was never a big boxing guy in the first place, so I never really had the opportunity.
In person, no. Not in person, but I've seen.
Like, you've seen videos, you've seen footage. I'm sure you've seen, like, when we were kings, ESPN Classics, where they would sit down and analyze. I just watched ESPN Classic on YouTube the other night. As a matter of fact, just the other night, when they basically analyzed him regaining his title for the first time after coming back from suspension, from being suspended and stripped of his title by the U.S. government. And hell of a thing. And I flash back to when I was just, you know, a baby. Ali was fighting when I was just a really little kid. You know, I'd watch his fights with my dad on ABC's Wild World of Sports. And this was, you know, this was before closed circuit TV, never mind pay-per-view. And it was just, the guy was amazing. Bottom line, you know, at the end of the day, it was just incredible to watch. But Ali's legacy is not just what he did in the ring, Mike.
It's not. And it's funny because I'm looking at a picture of him and him and Hogan. And he was really involved. He was really involved in the WWE. And well, to me, it was just an amazing thing. He's known just like a wrestler inside the ring and outside the ring for the things that he's done.
Mm-hmm. But of course, I'm talking about a whole big other picture away from sports. This is the guy who would hang out. He hung out with guys like Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King. Muhammad Ali was born Cassius Marcellus Clay, January 17th, 1942, into a Christian family. His father was a Christian preacher. As an adult, Ali attended a Nation of Islam assembly. It wasn't a rally or anything like that. I guess you could call it an assembly. It was Elijah Muhammad, who at the time was the leader of the Nation of Islam, preaching for all intents and purposes, and something captivated.
Muhammad Ali, his legacy, like you said, 2 years after winning the world heavyweight title, the heavyweight championship, fought Clay, fought Sonny Liston, and at the age of 22, he won the world title. I believe he was the youngest world champion.
At the time. Beat by Tyson, who won it at 19, I think.
Yeah. And then it was everything that he did, and he got the nickname, it was earned. It wasn't made up, it was earned. So when he says, I am the greatest, that is exactly what he means. Means what he says.
Absolutely and exactly. You're absolutely right, Mike. And I'm old enough to remember some of the tail end of the civil rights movement and not realizing how historically big that was. Muhammad Ali became an integral part of that. And it actually basically is one of the reasons why he wound up losing his title. He didn't, you know, drop it to another boxer in the ring. He was KO'd by the American government because, as a conscientious dissenter, he refused to be inducted into the army and get shipped off to Vietnam. Now, had he gone there, had he gone to the Vietnam, all he would have done was PR work, and he put on exhibition boxing matches all over South Vietnam for the troops. That's beside the point. He was very, very charged up when he talked to members of the press and other people. And I don't want to get into hefty detail unless you feel like doing so, Mike. You know, one thing that he said about one of the reasons why he wasn't going to go fight the Viet Cong.
He said, war is against the teachings of the Quran. I'm not trying to dodge the draft. We are not supposed to take part in no wars unless declared by Allah or the Messenger. He did it because he didn't go to war because of his beliefs. Mm-hmm. And that was a big problem. And so when he was going to, I think it was the 1967, he refused three times.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of that, the officer warned him he was committing a felony, 5 years and $10,000. And then Ali was like, no, and he was in jail. And because of that, like, he been through a lot. The New York, they suspended his boxing license and stripped him of his title.
Now, this led to him actually getting involved in the world of professional wrestling because they wouldn't let him box. He was just not being allowed a license anywhere. And so he wound up, you know, the boxer versus the wrestler. And we saw in Rocky III, when Rocky took on Thunderlips, you know, played mm-hmm. by Hogan, that was based on Muhammad Ali and the heavyweight wrestling champion at the time, and I can't remember who that was.
I'm actually going to look into that. Let me figure out who that was. Sure.
But at one point in time, he was up here in Calgary, and he hung out with Stu Hart at Stampede Wrestling, and he was a referee up here. He was back in Calgary again after his boxing career was over. He was hired to do a series of commercials, TV commercials for a fur company. Like they sold like fur coats and stuff like that up here. And who was with him when he was up here? I think it was Angelo Dundee. They were in this furrier, and he's signing autographs and getting pictures taken and everything else like that for print ads. And then Angelo Dundee said, "You want to go create a cause a traffic jam?" And Ali said, "Sure." They walked him out to the corner of 4th Street and 16th Avenue, downtown Calgary, and just let him stand on the corner. He just stood there. And within 5 minutes, cars in both directions were just piled up. Everybody just getting out of their cars and going up just so they could shake the champ's hand. yeah, one of my favorite memories was watching the Thrilla in Manila. That was an incredible fight. And of course, at the very beginning, there was this trophy donated to be donated to the winner of the bout that was commissioned by President Marcos. And as they're talking about the trophy and they're explaining that the winner of the fight is going to get the trophy, Ali comes walking out of his corner, scoops the thing up in his arms and walks it back to his corner. Just absolute cockiness, brash arrogance, you know? But the thing about it was, you know, he was able to back it up. So was it really cocky? He backed it up.
It wasn't cocky. It was.
No. It's cocky. It's like, there's no doubt about that.
You know, but, you know, one thing that he was really famous for, Omega, was, his psychological warfare. We have how many times talked about ring psychology on this show when it applies to wrestling?
I think we talk about it more when it no longer applies in wrestling, but yes.
When we see that it should happen but doesn't. And so we bring it up at least once a month, sometimes twice. Well, Muhammad Ali was a master of psychology. He would get into your head as well as under your skin. One thing about Sonny Liston, at one point in time, Sonny Liston, I can't remember the city, if it was Las Vegas or Atlantic City, but Sonny Liston is gambling. This is a week before their fight. Muhammad Ali walks into the casino and starts trash talking Sonny Liston when he was still Cassius Clay before he was the champ, like a week before that championship match. And he is just shooting Liston down and tearing him up verbally. Sonny Liston pulled a gun on Muhammad Ali and pointed it at him and pulled the trigger three times. The gun was filled with blanks. Ali didn't know that. He took off running because of the gun, thinking, oh shit, it's a real thing. But Ali would not stop chirping his opponent before, during, and after the match. It was Smokin' Joe Frazier who helped get Ali back into boxing after he beat the government. They were really good friends. Then this all got set up. Ali just started chirping, calling him a gorilla and other assorted names that I won't bring up. But when all was said and done, Frazier hated Ali so badly and so much that it took over 20 years for them to patch things up and for Frazier to accept Ali's apologies. I mean, he was that good at getting under your skin verbally. That fight that I told you about with the trophy, the Thriller in Manila against Joe Frazier, that has to be one of, if not the most incredible fights I have ever watched in my life. Now, Omega, you never really grew up a boxing fan. I grew up a boxing fan because of guys like, not just Ali, but, Foreman and Frazier and Ken Norton and Larry Holmes and, a whole bunch of others in that era. And there was no mixed martial arts back then. Professional wrestling was still a fringe sport. Boxing was the big thing. And I'll tell you, wow. Just the quality of the pugilists back then was absolutely incredible.
I will say one clip that came up in my YouTube feed a lot, when I've seen this clip before.
Yeah.
Just going through ESPN Classic or just some random channel surfing of, and I don't even know who he's fighting, but it's Ali backed into the corner of the ring and just, and dodging what the clip claims is 21 punches in a row. In the span of about 10 seconds.
And he's just like moving his head out of the way and dodging him and moving backwards and side to side. And not one of those 21 punches in 10 seconds are connecting.
He's standing there in the corner after the opponent just has to back off and recover. And he's just shaking his hips and taunting him.
I do believe that was the fight where he regained his title after coming back. It was George Foreman.
Yeah.
That may have been the Rumble in the Jungle as, what's his name? Don King called it the Rumble in the Jungle. But yeah, that's one thing about Ali. He was that quick. He didn't need to keep his hands up. He'd keep his hands down and dare you to throw a punch at him. You couldn't hit him. I mean, he was grease lightning side to side, back, just absolutely incredible. Totally amazing to watch him in the ring.
And would still talk trash in your ear while you're in a match with him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then he adopted the rope-a-dope style and everybody's like, you're going to get killed. But if you watch it's absolute perfect psychology. Again, I relate to Rocky III. The second fight with Clubber Lang. You, Omega, Mike, you guys remember this movie, right? The second fight with Clubber Lang?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he taunts Clubber into throwing wildly and just coming after him and not trying to duck the punches, just letting Clubber Lang punch himself out. Then he came back and put him on his ass. That was, taken straight from Muhammad Ali, straight from his fights, because he lost his prime years from being suspended and he had to change his style around completely. But at the same time, he would adapt to every fighter he faced. And I swear, if you don't YouTube the Thrilla in, just type it Thrilla with an A in Manila and watch that fight. Absolutely incredible. In fact, Ali was 5 seconds away from losing the title because he told Angelo Dundee, his trainer, to cut his gloves off. And the only thing that kept that title around his waist, Joe Frazier's corner threw in the towel because Frazier couldn't see. His face was swollen up that much that his eyes were shut tight. And he held that title by this. He retained the title by the skin of his teeth.
Literally.
I mean, he even said that he was sure he was going to die in that fight. He had never been hit so much and so hard in his entire life than he was in that fight. But, you know, like transcending boxing, Ali was one of my childhood heroes, just like Neil Armstrong was. First man to walk on the moon, and Muhammad Ali, another childhood hero. And I'm pretty sure that in some small way, my beliefs and my philosophies were concerns, what Ali stood for has stuck with me and is part of me because of him and because I looked up to him. And I'm trying to explain all this without getting a little bit too into it. Am I doing a good enough job? I don't know. I'm not sure. You either understand or you don't. Getting back to boxing, I'll tell you right now, end the debate once and for all. Tyson versus Ali, Mike?
Tyson. I mean, Ali, I apologize. It was Ali.
Uh-huh. Omega, you want to give it a shot? Tyson versus Ali?
It'd be Ali.
Yeah. Right? Like, absolutely.
Power versus technique, I would always give it to technique.
And
there's no good, I don't care what kind of hammers you're throwing. If you can't hit your opponent, they're not going to do you any good.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. But at the same time, you got to remember the speed that Ali possessed. He would force Tyson to have to lunge. And Tyson, let's face it, shorter guy, he had to do a lot of lunging in a lot of his fights. And guys like Buster Douglas and Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis waited for that lunge, because once he lunged, his whole side was opened up, and that's when they connected, because they had that reach advantage on him. And you combine that with Ali's speed, and Tyson would have been blistered like 5 times in 3 seconds. I swear to God. And I'm not talking about Ali would have won by decision. Ali would have won by TKO. He would have eventually knocked Tyson on his ass. You have to remember at the same time, Tyson's fights where Tyson did a good job and where Tyson won, never got past the fourth round. Ali got stronger as the fight went on. And fourth round, fifth round, through the 15th round is when Ali dominated. Tyson didn't have that stamina during his time. So at the end of the day, that's it. That's all there is to it. I don't know if you guys want to say anything about your memories of Ali or anything about the champ.
There's nothing I can truly say just because of my inexperience with the man's history.
Yeah.
Everything I have seen or known about the guy, because, like, you know, I'm pretty sure well out of the boxing thing by the time I was even born.
Mm-hmm.
All I ever knew of him was stories related from the people that I knew about. Just, you know, we all want, he's just one of, like, the kindest and most big-hearted guys you could ever meet in your life. Just, you know, stories of, you know, just, you know, if anyone wanted a picture, they got it. If anyone wanted an autograph, they got it. Like, the guy just, the guy loved his people. And everyone that encountered him has nothing but good from what I've seen.
Well, he loved all people, not just, you know, air quotes, his people. He loved everybody outside the ring. He was a man of peace and nonviolence. So, Mike, I've been skirting this issue the entire time I'm talking about Ali. You know the issue I'm talking about.
Which one? There's a bunch of issues.
Well, the main one, I alluded to it with the civil rights movement and such. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But listen, away from boxing, as a black man, how important was Muhammad Ali to you?
Honestly, he was a lot. He was a huge, huge influence because he was a world champion. And from what people have said, it was a white person's sport. And Muhammad Ali, he was literally a heroic symbol because he was a man of peace. He didn't want to go to war. All he wanted to do was just be positive. But when he was in the ring, he showed that he talked the talk, but he backed it up. So pretty much he was talking smack, but he was able to smack you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But he stood for his rights, and he stood for what he believed in. And it was hard, but the payoff was amazing.
Yeah, and he's standing up for what he believed in and the rights of the black man and all of that other stuff. That didn't make it didn't make the impact into my brain as a 4 or 5, 6 year old as it would have somebody who was a teenager or older, but it stuck with me. And I didn't understand racism when I was that age. Nobody does. It's something that you learn. It's not something you're born with. People aren't born hating. They learn hate. And seriously, it's people like Nichelle Nichols and Muhammad Ali and those people who have helped to, in my opinion, consider the entire human race as one and not divide them up. The yellow man, the red man, the white man, the black man. We are all one. I don't care what the pigment of your skin makes your skin tone. It doesn't matter. And it's people like Ali, in my opinion, that has formed, you know, helped to shape me into that person. If any of that is making sense,
yeah.
You know, that being said, you know, the champ is gone. There will never be another one like Muhammad Ali. And all I can say is, rest in peace, champ. Thank you very much for absolutely everything. And, you know, I'm going to miss him and I'm never going to forget him.
Rest in peace, champ. Thank you. There will only be one of the greatest, and that is Muhammad Ali.
That being said, everybody, we're going to take our first time out of the evening, and we're going to talk a little Brock Lesnar when we come back on the other side of the break. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and live on your TuneIn app on your mobile device. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cigs.
I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Damn, somebody give me a goddamn...
Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get fired by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moment.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh.
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, I mentioned it before we went to break. You can listen to us while you're on the go with the TuneIn app. Go to the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store and download it 100% free. And just do a search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And you, too, can listen to us while you're away from the computer. Yeah. Coming back from break with Brock Lesnar's music, because we're about to talk about Brock Lesnar. Apparently, guys, this news broke last night to the point where it got somebody kicked out of UFC 199. Brock Lesnar will be at UFC 200 fighting an opponent yet to be named. Omega.
This was an all-night thing of just what the fuck just happened.
Uh-huh.
I had flashbacks of the Minnesota Vikings incident.
Oh, God.
It's like, no, Brock's under contract. Oh, wait, Brock's under contract. Shit.
Oh, fuck, Brock's under contract.
It means nothing. It's paper to Brock Lesnar.
Well, as the news started breaking last night, Twitter started exploding. People couldn't believe it. Some people are like, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. No way, not going to happen. He's under contract for another couple of years with WWE through 2017 or what, 2018 or whatever. It'll never happen. Vince will never let it happen. Then some guy, Rock, showed me the link to his Twitter feed last night. Some guy who was at UFC 199 started tweeting that Lesnar would be at UFC 200 fighting an unnamed opponent. Next thing you know, he's tweeting that he and his buddies had their press credentials taken away. They were escorted out of the building and banned from all future UFC events for breaking the news. And I guess Dana White wanted that to be a surprise announcement.
Well, see, it was a surprise announcement until there was a video. There was an actual promo / trailer, and they showed Lesnar at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone, the moment they saw Brock Lesnar's face, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's Brock Lesnar, it's Brock Lesnar. And then you got the rest, and you got the wrestling community. It's money. Of course he's going to do it.
Well, the point is, this guy broke the news before it aired on UFC, and it pissed off Dana White.
See, that's really fucking petty. The guy is so loyal to UFC and MMA in general, and all he was basically doing what anyone with a smartphone could have done. The only difference is he has an audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's a really classless move.
Like in this day and age, especially with Twitter, with Facebook, with smartphones, with instant messaging and texting, and everything, and stuff that is so immediate. Yeah, a whole ton of shit gets posted every day that's wrong because none of it is vetted. There are no confirmed sources. There's no two sources. There's nothing to back it up. You can't. What do you put stock into?
You know what? What he did absolutely no damage whatsoever. You know what it did? It made people turn their heads.
Oh yeah, I know that. Like, I know for a fact people tuned into USC last night once that started breaking.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, people didn't give a shit about MMA or UFC or anything like that. We're suddenly looking in at this going, wait, did they say something? Is Brock, what is, it was buzzing everywhere.
Yep.
And that is buzz you cannot buy. You cannot hype up. That is completely legitimate and natural. And it's the best kind of promotion.
But for some reason, Dana got his little panties in a wad over the whole thing. Yeah. Not very bright on his part. Dana White is generally a very smart man. This just does not come across as a smart move.
No, this is petty, borderline childish.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do it first.
Yeah, pretty much that's how it, you know, came across as, for all intents and purposes. Yeah, but fighting in UFC 200, what's that going to do for Brock Lesnar?
Honestly, I gotta see, because I mean, I haven't seen him in the octagon in a while, so. Just like the same thing in WWE, let's just see how he does. Does he still got it? Does he not? What's going on? Is he still going to, is going to lose? Is he going to win? Is he better or is he worse?
Does he remember that people aren't just going to let them, is going to let him suplex them?
Exactly.
Exactly. What is it going to do for Lesnar? It's going to give him a payday.
I mean, regardless, it's going to be a paycheck, regardless.
Oh, yeah. That's what Brock is. Like, regardless of what we think of it, to him, to Brock Lesnar, all that matters is the number in his bank account. The man himself admits he doesn't know where his WWE championship belts are. He doesn't remember where his NCAA championships are.
Yep.
And it's sad.
It's sad to us, but like, it's the man's prerogative. Like, all that matters to him is, you know, how much money is in that bank account. To him, that's what proves how good he is. Mm-hmm. And really, really culturally, we do the same thing.
That's true. I mean, you're right. A paycheck and an unlimited and a lifetime supply of Jimmy John subs.
I mean, like, the end of the day, like, if you think you're doing more, yeah, like, if you think you're doing really good work, you're going to want a raise because you think that's what you deserve. And if you get it, that's a mark of how good you are at what you do.
Well, I'll guarantee you that after the fight's over, he's going to be throwing back a bunch of Coors Light. Unless Budweiser smartened up and decided to give him another paycheck.
But it's still funny to me. And Omega, I know you're probably going to agree with this. How funny. You're returning, but someone has yet to make their debut.
Now, are you a buddy in particular, guys?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know, but... it's none of my business.
Lindsay from The Rack Thursday nights, before the show sent me an article from Kayfabe News of Brock Lesnar swears to conquer CM Punk's undefeated streak in UFC, which has gone since his signing in 2014. Yeah, that's fucking brilliant.
How markout would people get if his unnamed opponent actually turned out to be Punk?
I believe Punk's debut is written in for August right now, so that's probably not likely at this point. It would be hysterical, however.
I'd watch it just because of the funniness. Just because of, you know, just hilarious. But let's quell that right now before it picks up a whole bunch of steam on Twitter and Facebook. Ain't happening, people. Okay, just ain't happening. But holy cow, what kind of a gasket do you think Vince blew when he found out?
That's the debate. Because there was one of the things that made everyone go, what the fuck, was like analysts over at ESPN going, well, this was written into his contract. Vince wasn't even involved in this. Like, what? I'm sure a lawyer at WWE would adamantly disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had other people speculating, well, you know, before WrestleMania, they redid his contract, and this, you know, like it was written in that he could do like one more UFC appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not really sure because no one actually has read the ink on Brock Lesnar's contract. But we know WWE signed off on the appearance because they said so themselves.
Well, they didn't just sign off on the appearance. They posted it on WWE.com. And whether or not it's written into his contract, it's obvious that that Brock has Vince's blessing. And I'm sure Triple H is going along with it, and so is Stephanie. Stop and think about it. What does this mean for WWE that Brock Lesnar is going to the UFC? What does this do for WWE? Keep in mind that Lesnar's next appearance in WWE will be at SummerSlam. And UFC 200 is in July.
This is a massive roll of the dice. If Brock goes back to UFC, and it's Brock Lesnar, and I'm sure they're not going to give him like a very sturdy opponent, but let's say he has some octagon rust.
Yeah.
Or he's, you know, or like with the wrestling schedule, he hasn't had like the training time he would normally have for something like this. Because they are very different, you know, very different styles of competition. They take very different training. If he happens to lose, that's going to break down everything WWE has built him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just to go off back to, because if he goes back to UFC, you know, knocks an opponent out in the first round and then comes back to WWE, he still looks like the conqueror who can go anywhere, do anything, and beat the shit out of anyone however he wants.
Yeah.
But if he goes off to UFC in the meantime and ends up taking a loss to someone, no one in the WWE universe knows who the fuck it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the end of like the unstoppable juggernaut Brock Lesnar.
All that work building him up just to have this happen.
And the thing of it is that UFC is unscripted. So you have to rely on what you know and your ability and your strength. So, like Omega said, it is a gamble. And I'm just hoping that it's a good gamble.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Yeah, okay, UFC. Unscripted. It's real. It's not fake like wrestling is. Odds can still be stacked in Brock's favor by offering up a hand-picked opponent. I will not discount this until that opponent is named.
Well, rumor is it's going to be announced on Monday.
Yeah. How much you want to bet it's a solid fighter who does really, you know, who's a good fighter and he can hold his own. But is not in Brock's league.
Oh, yeah.
Love him or hate him, you have to admit, Brock Lesnar is a good fighter. He can kick some ass in that octagon, for real. And then kick some ass scripted in WWE. He's no pushover. However,
now,
I'm not giving him a championship title bout, that's for damn sure.
Pretty much.
Now, if you've been following UFC's website, this keeps getting weirder because you'll remember a while back, Not very long ago, they accidentally added Brock to the roster.
Yeah.
And then immediately took him down. Everyone went, wait, were you adding him to like the alumni section or what? No one knew what the hell to make of it. And then of course, so, oh, no, we got it found out. Like we got it on Saturday. This is what it's about. Right now, as we are recording this actual episode of WTR Sunday Night, I'm looking at the UFC website. They've removed all of Brock's mentions. You look at the card for UFC 200, he's not on it. You want to go look at the little promo video that had Brock at the end? It's not there. Every mention of him is off the website. And apparently they removed it from Twitter as well.
Did they?
Yeah. That's what I'm reading.
Oh shit, what'd you do, Brock? Did you suplex Dana White again?
Again. UFC.com doing something that makes everyone confused.
I blame their website productions team.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if it was just like the website, like reverting to a previous update where Brock wasn't listed, I'd be, oh, well, yeah, that's a thing. Except to go and do it on Twitter is extremely deliberate and time consuming.
It is.
Because that, you know, that's one tweet at a time you have to go wipe out.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea what the hell happened, but it keeps getting stranger.
I don't know what UFC is doing right now. You know what? Let me see.
Mike is doing research right now, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, right? UFC 200, blah, 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 blah. Nope. Hold on. And they just got... I don't care about them. No, this is Wrestling Inc. I don't care about them.
We're digging. Hold on.
Yeah, we really are digging, guys. Is it on Wikipedia? The official fight card?
Yep, yes, because Wikipedia is a very trustworthy source of news and information.
Shut up. Look.
I'm just saying, I could pencil it in for Brock Lesnar to fight the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man if I wanted to on there.
Card is subject to change. Damn, they are really being assholes and not saying anything. You know what? UFC.com.
He doesn't believe me, ladies and gentlemen.
No, he has to go confirm. Look, let me see that. Got it. Fighters. Demetrius Jackson. Yeah, fuck you. Nama Cruz, Conor McGregor, Jazz, everybody. Let's see. And no Brock Lesnar. Oh, my damn.
Yeah.
UFC, what the fuck are you doing?
We don't know. That's the thing.
Sin Cara is in charge. It's the only thing I can think of. That's the only logical explanation. Sin Cara.
Sin Cara runs the website. Sin Cara's botched the website, botched the Twitter account. Oh no, Dana, I sprained my finger clicking all these deletes. I have to quit.
Oh, God. I could see that happening, which is very sad.
Sin Cara out with broken clicker finger.
It is Sin Cara, so would it be a surprise?
Nothing with Sin Cara is a surprise anymore. Other than WrestleMania, where he managed to be in like a big clusterfuck ladder match and hit every spot.
Yeah, I need a drink after that.
Damn.
Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, come on, UFC. I think they're trying to keep it hidden, quote unquote, air quotes.
No, it's not keeping it hidden. It's gone. Like they made a huge deal out of it Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Put it all over Twitter, put it all over everything, and now we get 24 hours later, it's gone.
Jesus.
It, like it didn't happen.
Oh my God, really?
But so the whole thing about the internet was once it's out there, and that's all there is to it. You can't un-internet the internet. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, but there is a reason they would go through so much work to wipe this announcement out.
It's ridiculous.
So he's not wrong.
Wait, they wiped out the announcement?
It's nowhere. If you go on Twitter, all the mentions of Brock Lesnar are gone. If you go and try and find like the promo video that Brock was in, you can't find it. It's off the fight card on UFC.com for 200. It's mentioned nowhere.
Okay.
Like I said, UFC.com keeps making this story more fucking confusing.
So Brock Lesnar is going to be on SportsCenter at 10 a.m. to do probably announce his opponent. So people are aware.
It's going to be vacant. It's not going to be Brock.
Maybe there is. They're changing their minds overnight.
Card is subject to change.
Card is subject to lawyer intervention.
The WWE basically gave them their endorsement.
I know, which is
weird.
I don't know. Like I said it. I could understand if like this was a website error and they went to like a version that didn't have Brock announced by accident. Like, they just kind of got the update files.
You put it on TV and everything.
Yeah, you saw that through all the way, put it on TV. It's the fact that it was removed from Twitter because tweets can't be auto-deleted like that. You have to go in and do it one at a time. Everyone that mentions Brock has to be deleted. Why? Like, that took some effort and that took some conscious decision to do.
I don't know. We'll just have to see tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN.
I don't know. I think it'll be as clear as mud by Tuesday.
All I know is we were trying to play cards last night and we kept getting sidetracked because something else happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an all-night thing of just, oh shit, something else happened with Brock. Oh, wait, that doesn't make, wait, isn't the other, wait, did they, like, let go of his contract? At one time I actually thought, like, did they let go of his contract just to save the millions and millions they're giving him?
It's like with Brock Lesnar, you have to ask the questions, who, what, when, where, why, how much they're paying him. That's pretty much what you have when it comes to Brock Lesnar, those questions.
Who's paying him? Where's he getting paid? When is he getting paid? Why is he getting paid the amount he's getting paid?
Who's sponsoring him?
Not
is
Bud
Jimmy Light. John's doing good.
There's another shot. So, yeah, I guess we're just going to have to see if anything clears up starting tomorrow over this entire situation. Hey, guys?
We'll see. Like I said, we'll see.
Because, you know, Omega is, you know, saying that there's no mention anywhere on the internet. It's not even on the website right now after their announcement last night. It's like a total what the fuck, dude. So we'll just have to wait and see. Speaking about C, last Monday night, John Cena returned to the WWE and made an appearance on Raw. AJ Styles came out to the ring to shake his hand and welcome him back. Out comes the club, and it's like, oh, well, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing the other thing. And next thing you know, we figure, okay, we're going to get a tag team matchup. It's going to be AJ and Cena versus the club. Gallows and what's his name?
Anderson.
That's it. Anderson and Gallows. Gee, did you see the swerve coming? Was it too obvious?
Ooh, thank you for doing digging, Rock.
Uh-oh. Well, we better break that. Yeah, according to a tweet that our Joe producer dug out, Dana White apparently specifically said Brock Lesnar is pissed off that the news was published. Something is definitely up now, just to go back to the Brock Lesnar story. Well, maybe UFC 200's out.
It might be. But like, Brock Lesnar is like, that is kind of how he is.
If he doesn't like a situation, he's going to take his ball and go home.
Yeah, and he's not a man of words, per se. He like a lot of people have said, he keeps to himself.
He won't suck it up. He's a spoiled brat.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sure, he's a few words, and he lets his actions speak for him. You can do that without being a spoiled brat. Brock's a spoiled brat.
That's true. But I think he wanted to be a surprise. So, yeah, I think Dana kind of said, whoops, hey, Sin Cara, do this for me.
Well, now it's starting to make me wonder if that guy who broke the news last night forced Dana White's hand into having it actually broadcast when it wasn't originally going to be.
No, it was originally going to be. That's why they had the video produced.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Huh? You can't do that on the spot.
Well, yeah,
that was played right after, that was played during 199.
Yeah, it was already, produced and still up on the UFC YouTube. Twitter. Not on YouTube.
The video is still on Twitter.
The video is still on Twitter, mm-hmm. on the UFC Twitter. I just saw it. Cause there are people reporting that it's, you know, it's not online anymore, so,
Well. We'll just have to keep on top of this, and probably by Thursday, you and Lindsay will have a detailed report of something during the rack at 10 o'clock Eastern on Thursday.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you in an hour.
There's something going. There's a lot of things. I don't know if you guys brought this up, but I'm going to throw it out to you guys. So remember about TakeOver? The big hubbub about TakeOver in Brooklyn that was removed from the schedule?
Oh, right, because this one was the end and the brand split was killing NXT and all that. Yeah.
UFC,
all that bullshit.
No, you know, here's the connection. UFC 202 is that night. And if they're doing cross-promotion, if they're doing cross-promotion with UFC to promote SummerSlam, but WWE run against it?
Hmm.
It's
likes money ratings.
That's tricky. Thing is, like, if they've already booked it for that night, that'd be really expensive to change gears now, just to do it on a different night.
Not really. If you move it back one day to Friday night, you're okay.
If that night's available. Sometimes these venues get booked years in advance.
I looked at the Barclays calendar. There's nothing on Friday. That Friday. They're good. It's not basketball season. So they're
fucking
good.
Research.
I know. I did. See, I do my facts.
You know, facts get in the way of a good speculation all the time.
But no, this is good speculation, though, that there may be more to the NXT story of it being pulled off the calendar.
I was gonna say, like, Tim just broke down Fox News in one sentence right there.
I did too, didn't I? That's funny, man. That's just funny. Anyway, yeah, moving on. Are you guys looking forward to John Cena versus AJ Styles?
Minus 1 point.
hey, you had two chances to get Cena. Two.
Shut up.
Shit, I think I had three because I picked first overall.
You picked first overall, but I picked him the second time around.
Yeah.
You only had one shot. You took Roman Reigns. Like, I can't fault that.
Well, listen, if you had the first overall pick, you would have bitten the bullet and picked Roman too.
Actually, no. New Day was my first pick going in.
Okay. Well, then Roman would have gone first or second. Somebody would have snapped them up. It was not a bad move. I'm not a Roman Reigns fan. I am not part of the Roman.
So it wasn't.
I'm not a stupid gambler.
So it wasn't a bad move. It wasn't a good move. It was the move.
The move.
Dear God.
It wasn't a good move. It wasn't a bad move.
It was. Rock, I'm so happy you thought of it first so I could laugh at it.
You're welcome.
Oh God, that was still borderline Jeezy. In context, it was.
Yeah. It plays. It plays.
It does. Okay, we'll keep it. 2 points. Anyway, last Monday night I'm thinking, oh shit, we're gonna get a tag team with AJ and Cena? Yeah, that could work. And then the swerve, and I'm sitting here, yeah, I wanna see this. I wanna see this. Styles versus Cena. Here's the question. Is Cena going to do the job for Styles to put Styles even further over?
Once.
Point for Heartbreak Mike.
But it is Cena.
It'll happen once, and you figure they'll have three matches, but it'll only happen once, and Cena will win two.
I figure it's going to follow the Kevin Owens route.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, don't do that. Minus 2 points.
Hey, I could have said it follow the Nexus route.
Well, here's the thing. Apparently, Vince McMahon has become a huge fan of AJ Styles, and speculation is Styles is in line for a huge push once Roman's is done with.
Plus 3 points.
Hey,
don't start cutting until tomorrow, Mike.
Yeah, it's only, what, 11 weeks?
Yes.
That'd be a little quick.
Sure, still counting. Points are points, man.
All about the points. All about them points.
Millions of points. Millions of points.
I had that running through my brain too, Omega. We've been on the show together way too long, man.
Oh, yeah.
But this Cena in Styles, it needs to happen. I mean, there's no way to avoid it. It needed to happen. And I think it happened the right way. It happened the right way, where AJ Styles can be himself.
So the swerve and AJ turning heel was the right way.
or in the wrestling community's logic, the hero.
Well, that just depends on whether or not you care about John Cena. Like him or hate him, he's the face of the company. He's still selling the most merchandise even when he was injured. So, what you gonna do?
Buy Bullet Club merchandise.
There you go. So, yeah, anyway. I'm looking forward to it, Omega. I don't know.
I am too. Like, this is one of those, for the same reason we wanted Sting and Undertaker.
Yep.
This is one of those, like, company men matches you don't get anymore. Because there's so few companies left.
Yep. I have to agree.
Yeah. And if all we can make fun of TNA, AJ was so much better than TNA. Like, he deserved to be on that main roster a long time ago.
Well, not to sound like I ate the cornflakes, but yeah, AJ was above TNA while he was in TNA.
They had the chance, like WWE, like there are dark matches for, or I want to say like a Sunday Night Heat or Superstars thing where AJ did have a tryout match.
Years and years and years ago.
Like, no, he has a Southern accent. Okay.
A twang accent.
So.
I don't know. It was still the dumbest reason I've ever heard for not hiring someone who was that good.
Yeah, that was kind of stupid, but what are you going to do, right?
Honestly, like it's a huge boon now, because now he's made a name for himself. Everyone knew, like, everyone knows AJ Styles now.
Right.
Thanks, New Japan. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Bullet Club.
There you go. Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Next up on the roster, Adam Rose is now going to be known as Aldo Rose. Oh, originality, hey?
Aldo.
Rage.
So, you know, I'm just going to start calling him Aldo Nova. Apparently, his Twitter bio now says ain't no more PG in this party. Where is he going?
The indie scene.
So I could, like, start up a wrestling company and hire him for, what, $800 an appearance?
He could be
that's going to be bail money.
He could be the star of the Canadian All Pro Wrestling
2.5?
3.0. Okay. Yeah. We lose track of what version we're up to at this point.
Yeah. We'll be up to 3.0 if it ever fires the fuck back. Anyway.
keep in mind, if he's got the party theme going again, you got to pay for the rosebuds too.
That's what I'm afraid of.
He wants to bring the rosebuds. He can pay for them out of his own pocket. I am not gonna.
Just pull people out of the crowd. It'll be all right. Fan interaction right there.
Where's the bunny? Screw the bunny!
Do you think we have time?
Exactly.
There you go.
Oh boy. But he could be worse. He could be Aldo Montoya.
Aldo Montoya.
You killed my father. Put that to die.
That would almost be a good gimmick.
I can't see. I'm sorry.
That's just a whole...
I have come here looking for the six-fingered wrestler.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Aldo Ross. You killed my father. Now I'm going to kill you. But first, I'm going to party.
There goes that idea.
Yeah, I'll kill it quick. Yeah, kill it quick. So he's keeping the party gimmick, but apparently it's going to be a little bit more growed up, a little less PG.
Party at the Playboy Ranch?
This is what I'm thinking. He's just going to have, he's going to rent Godfather's hose to come out with him.
Oh, God, no.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me either, but unless he likes the old, wrinkly, never mind.
Well, not specifically. I'm sure Godfather has freshened up the stock.
You would hope so, because, yeah. Remember, Victoria was one of Godfather's hoes. That's how she started.
He doesn't run a strip club now.
Yeah. So there it is. Yeah, everybody, time for us to take our second break of the evening. So we're going to do that. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Rough Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere on the other side of this quick little timeout. We are going to have Omega Time. We'll be back right after this.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moment.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh,
Bo, please.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
Then you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really moved. I said,
and welcome back to WTR Sunday Night.
So anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody.
Yeah, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us and all this other wonderful stuff. Hey, Omega!
What?
Guess what?
Oh, no.
We're making time for you.
It's Omega time.
It's time.
What? Time! It's time! It's
Omega.
Time!
Can I bitch now?
Can I bitch now?
Where'd you dig that up?
Oh shit, that's old.
God, that sounded like at least two microphones ago.
Probably was. Oh, if you knew what I found earlier today about you that you don't want played on the air.
Oh yeah, he sent it to me.
The file is called Omega Striptease. Just gonna leave it at that.
No.
Let's just, yeah, when we were on Saturdays on, TPRS, or TPSR, whatever it was called, toilet paper radio, and Internet Dave could be heard. And you know what? I forgot how much of an idiot he is until I heard that clip.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is a segment called Omega Time because Omega had this booking idea. So yeah, let's get into it.
Okay. So one of the things about the draft, I think everyone had, brand split draft, our fantasy draft.
Mm-hmm.
That late rounds, everyone kind of gets people we really didn't want.
It's like, maybe we'll take, I guess. He's there.
Who's never on Raw, so at least they're not going to cost me any points. would have been a legitimate strategy.
Yep.
But I got to looking at my list and like all my late rounds going, what? God, I wish they would do something like somewhat intelligent with any of these guys, because I've got Sheamus, whose big thing is he's in a turtle movie now. Like, I got to looking at Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
And for the life of me, I don't know why, something in my head clicked, and I'm like, okay, this is like the perfect way to book him. This is like the perfect storyline. They will never fucking do it.
Okay, so what's going through your head?
What's going through my head is, I've said on the show before, whenever that rich character gimmick comes up, it never really plays well, because they really only try and show how much money they have in one way, and they never really do anything with it.
Right.
Like JBL just come out, he would come out in like a limo. That doesn't tell me that JBL is rich. JBL, that tells me that JBL sold his car to buy a limo instead. That's not really impressive. And the same thing with Del Rio. It's like, he rented a new car every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's not impressive. Unless you want to convince me that he spent what would probably add up to about $50 million worth in cars over the course of that gimmick. I'm trying to stall him for time because I believe we have more issues.
No, Tim, we're without Tim. We're good.
Oh,
just keep rolling.
Tim!
He told me earlier tonight it would be bad tonight, so we're
all right.
We're just rolling through, as we normally do.
Oh, with the punches.
Forgive me for being annoyed that the fucking wrestling booker is not here.
Right? God damn it. The one segment we need him for. The one time.
The one time.
Really?
It makes him feel better.
It would be in his wheelhouse. So.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's kind of his thing.
It's just so, that's kind of annoying.
but
Omega picked a bad time.
Yes, you did.
So, as we stall for 11 seconds, we'll replay the intro.
Oh my god.
Can I bitch now?
Because that's exactly what you're doing. You're bitching now because it's not on the air. Alright, we might as well just keep rolling. Alright.
Okay, all right,
I was about
all right.
to say it. Third time's a charm.
We'll see. We'll see if he comes back. There's enough dead air here. He can fill in the gaps. But I got to thinking, like, the only time JBL ever convinced me that he had money was when he bought Shawn Michaels. Like, I didn't believe Shawn could be broke, but I believe JBL had the kind of money to, you know, buy a superstar.
Right, yeah.
Because that was him showing, hey, I'm loaded.
Yeah.
You know, inevitably, the gimmick always gets compared to the Million Dollar Man because he still worked at the best. Because he showed it. You know, invite some kid in the ring. Here, bounce this basketball 10 times. I'll give you $100. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Kick. Oh, too bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got a kick.
Right.
He got a kick out of seeing people degrade themselves and embarrass themselves in front of a crowd just for a little bit of money. Like not even barely a fraction of what the Million Dollar Man has. Like that, it was how he showed like his level of superiority, and of course he, you know, not a millionaire, especially back in those days of wrestling. But you believed it.
You did.
He wore it well
because
he showed it. So I was thinking to myself, like I wouldn't mind Del Rio going back to like Mexican aristocrat because let's face it, it's all he's got.
Yeah, it really is all he has.
But in my head, I'm thinking, like, what do you do that's not Million Dollar Man? Like, what do you do to actually show he's got that kind of cash? And something in my head wants him thought, I haven't seen a gambler. Like, I have not seen someone who just had so much money he could blow it on, you know, bets and risks.
Has there been a gimmick of that in wrestling?
I'm sure there are gambling gimmicks, but like no one running like that full, like, massive bankroll, you know, big whale type gambler.
Yeah.
So I type in the gambler, right? In wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it comes up with wrestlecrap.com. By the way, we should have the Canadian back right now.
Yeah, you do.
So, Tim, Omega was just asking, has there ever been a gambler that's credible in wrestling? That type of character?
Well, can I nominate the APA? Because they gambled a hell of a lot.
Backstage, yeah, but that's not what their gimmick was, and you know it.
Yeah, that's true. Here's the thing, okay? If there was a successful gambler gimmick, we'd be able to think of it without Wikipedia. Or
this is true.
Or WrestleCrap.
Mm-hmm.
So that should tell you.
Yeah. So I think, okay, Del Rio's supposed to have this big, like, wad of cash. You know, millions upon millions of pesos back home. So let's use it. Right? You know, like, just as a backstage segment, just pick someone else and go, hey, you know, I'm kind of getting bored with this whole match. Let's make it interesting. Like him and Shane was talking, like, I'll bet I can beat Sami Zayn tonight before you can beat, you know, whatever, like Dolph Ziggler, you know, little bets here and there just to make things interesting. And he wins more than he loses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if he's betting a face, he'll generally lose, and it's kind of like a rub your nose in it type moment. You know, gives him something to do, little stuff. But it keeps getting bigger. Like, you know, as a month of this goes on, he stops betting people he's working with and starts betting people he's working against. You know, okay, I've got $1,000 that says you can't hit me with a huluva kick tonight. You know, and he gets a win because Sammy's trying to hit a huluva kick too many times. You know, psychological games.
I see that.
But this is like slow development. This is like just the kind of thing he's doing. But it builds up to the point where eventually the stakes get big. Like, he will come out one night and say, look, this has been getting a little bit, you know, I've been having my fun, but I still haven't really gotten the challenge that I want. I got to thinking, I wish I could buy challengers the way I buy cars. And then I realized I can. So if anyone thinks they can beat me tonight, I've got a check for $50,000 that I'll put in your name. And it's someone low. You know, it's a Zack Ryder or someone like that. You know,
it would be the perfect opportunity to make someone.
Hold on.
Okay.
So you make it someone kind of low on the car. It's not a long match. It's mostly just to establish the idea. And, you know, afterwards say, what, is that all 50,000 can buy me? Okay. Tell you what, next time I'm in a match, 60,000. And the number.
The ante, basically.
Yeah. Every time he wins, the number goes up. You know, 10,000 more to the pot. You count house shows. You count, you know, superstars or wherever he wrestles. And, you know, you Goldberg the numbers if you have to. But you put him on like a 2-month winning streak with this, and the numbers just get like absolute. You know, the numbers get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, at some point he'll come out on Raw one day, and you know he's not holding a check anymore. He's holding this big metal briefcase because this is how much money we're talking about now. You know, and this total gets up to like some like ludicrous like $200,000 amount for one match. And after 2 months of winning, going in with all the confidence, he finally gets pinned. And it's Dean Ambrose. And 200,000 ain't nothing to Del Rio. But it's the fact that he now has to watch Dean Ambrose spend his money. And
that's
it's a
sticks in his craw is the fact that Dean Ambrose is spending it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like it.
You run this for a month where you have the two feud, but you never see him in the ring again until a pay-per-view. Because the feud is built by how much Del Rio is just getting pissed off at all this stupid shit that Dean's coming up with to buy. And it's Dean, so it's really stupid shit. He buys a solid gold pet crate for his pet rock.
He buys chili cheese dogs for everybody on the boardwalk.
No, not even that. Like, that's a generosity thing.
Yeah.
Like, this literally has to be brain dead stupid shit.
He buys a T-Rex head to put on his wall.
Shut up. Stupid like that, yes.
You and your goddamn T-Rex.
You just see him, like, running around backstage in one of those, like, big foam T-Rex costumes you see on YouTube all the time now. Mm-hmm. Just because he can. And this is just Del Rio just getting livid at this point. Okay, look. I can't take this anymore. You, me, next pay-per-view. I win, you give me that money back. I lose, I will double it. It's a double or nothing gamble here.
Right.
He loses. And it keeps getting worse. It keeps getting worse. Del Rio comes out one day and he stands at the entrance for his pyro and his pyro doesn't go off. And he just he just gets on the mic, just livid, like, where the hell is my pyro? Where's my fireworks? And he'd pop on the Titantron. Dean's going, I bought your fireworks! I wanted to try the Goldberg thing! And that's how you tie into the video game. Cheap plugs.
Boom.
So, you culminate this. Keep in mind, Dean's up 2-0 on this. The only thing Del Rio has to win back at this point is pride and his own money. So, you set it up, and it's a big briefcase of money. So, ladder match. Right?
Okay.
And, like, at this point, there's, like, really nothing for Dean to win here. So, this is where the feud ends, and it ends with Del Rio getting a victory. He climbs the ladder, grabs the briefcase, and he's just in tears of joy that this is not, that he doesn't have to watch this stupidity go on anymore. You know, absolutely thrilled that it is finally over. He's kneeling there in the ring, the briefcase in his hands, just elated. You know, he turns this thing around, pops the clasps open, lifts this thing up, and a single bill falls to the ground.
Just one bill left.
Dean is crazy. He's not stupid. It was all gone before it even got hung up there.
It's all just a dream.
But you give a really long streak of wins to Del Rio. He comes up looking good. Dean looks good because he breaks the streak and outsmarts Del Rio in the end. But Del Rio still wins the last match. Both of them come out looking a lot better than they did. And it's a fun ride that you can take for a good 4 months.
That could be fun.
It would get people interested in Del Rio again.
And it's something you could continue with him too, because as long as you can figure out ways of him like running risks in his matches in order to entertain himself, mm-hmm. you can keep the gimmick going. It gives him something to do, which he desperately needs, because right now his gimmick is the Mexican guy who doesn't have a mask.
Yeah. That really is him. So that's a halfway decent idea. It could work.
I'd watch it. Watch it, I would.
So that was...
It's time! It's time! It's...
Omega.
Time!
Can I bitch now? Granted, it's not bitching, but...
It's not bitching.
It's one of those things where once the idea crosses my brain has to see it through to the end.
I know, I understand that completely.
You're a savant that way. No, that's not the word.
Anyway, moving on to... quickly, because they're called Quick Picks, we're doing NXT Quick Picks for TakeOver this Wednesday on the WWE Network. So, Tim, run down the card.
So, there you go. Yeah, play along with us. Post your picks to the Facebook page, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. And we're going to start at the bottom of the card. Just because you guys get all ticked off because I read it off in the order that it's posted, and it's always the championship match that I start with, which is the main event. So we'll start with Ty Dillinger versus Andre Cien Almas. I don't know how to pronounce that. That's like Mexican or whatever.
That's why I did not pronounce it. I gave it to you.
It is Andrade Cien Almas.
There you go.
Yeah, Andrade Androgynous Almas. Whatever.
The former La Sombra.
Okay.
On the indie scene. He's making his NXT TV debut. On TakeOver.
I'll pick Ty Dillinger, Omega.
Will you?
Yep.
Okay, he picks Stan. What about you, Omega?
No, it's the power of the debut.
He won't even say the name.
Oh, didn't know it was the debut. Can I change my pick?
I just said it was the debut. shows how much you listened. God.
That's, yeah. And so, I'm going to change my pick to, Andrade.
No, no, you know, first pick is what is recorded. It's already been taken down, noted down. You pick Stan.
Yeah, no, I'm changing my pick. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to go with the power of
paying a lot of.
I'm going to go with Almas.
Paying him so much attention tonight.
Well, I was going to call. I was going to say go Oreo because I was looking at WTR's.
There it went. There it went.
And it happened.
All right, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Austin Aries. Omega, what's your thought process? Because now we can actually get into this a little bit.
My thought process is, holy shit, this match is going to be amazing.
Yeah, well.
I don't need any other thought processes on this match. I'm so looking forward to this one.
Is this their first time against each other? Or?
I believe so. Because
I don't know where they would have crossed paths otherwise.
Let me see. Hold on.
As he does live research.
Oh, he was doing this during technical difficulty time too.
I know he was. This is gonna be a dream match. This is a dream match for any fan out there that wants to see two guys just beat the crap out of each other. And you look it up and down this card. This could be the show stealer, but then you look, there could be other show stealers.
But that's the good thing about NXT.
It's a very good thing about NXT. You all these opportunities in front of you. Both men are undefeated in NXT.
Mm-hmm. Of course, both men are very new to NXT.
Yeah, they both really came in at TakeOver Dallas. So, who's your winner in this one? Is Shinsuke gonna take down the greatest man to ever live?
Oh, that is actually really... It is a difficult one. Like, cause I, like, my gut instinct is Nakamura, but, you know, there is that thought process of, you know what, it really, like, both of them are just as fresh to the company.
This could be considered like a number one contenders match. I don't know if they've actually officially said that, but it could be a match where the next guy, whoever wins this, could be the next in line for whoever wins the main event.
You know what? That's actually a pretty good speculation. On that, I would give it to Nakamura. Because if this ends up Joe versus Nakamura,
Jesus Christ,
someone will die. I've seen them wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
It is, but the thing of it is, someone will die with a smile on their face.
Yeah, it's most likely an internet fanboy in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
What would be more amusing is Austin Aries wins the number one contendership and faces Samoa Joe, and you headline the takeover with Joe versus Aries for the NXT championship.
All over again, man.
So he's going Nakamura as Omega. Tim is going Nakamura. Mike, who are you going with?
Going with, I'm actually going to go with Nakamura.
There you go.
Meanwhile, the Raw house shows, same night are running like AJ Styles versus R-Truth.
Dear God.
Cause that's what's up. As the head bounces up and down, tells you what to say when he thinks. Anyway, moving on. NXT Tag Team titles are on the line. American Alpha defend against The Revival.
America.
It's a rematch from Dallas. They've spent 6-7 weeks now building up to this rematch. They have not touched on TV except for a couple of little brawls. But in
have not touched on TV.
I meant in a match.
Until they did.
I meant in like a match. There's been no match between either team together. So who's your, winner in this one, Mike?
I gotta go with American Alpha and retain titles.
Tim is going with The Revival. Mega, who are you going with?
Do I go with my gut or do I go with my fantasy draft?
Alright.
I am expecting to lose points on NXT. I'm expecting to make them up later.
Oh shit, I gotta see who's on my golf. I gotta see who did I pick on the draft again.
It's wild. It's wildtalkradio.com. Click the fantasy button if you want to keep up to date with the WTR fantasy. It begins tomorrow on with Monday Night Raw.
If you can't remember who you picked in your fantasy draft.
That too. We will tweet out scores probably the next day after Raw airs and take over, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll have the full weekly update on this show on Sunday nights. So, now that I gave all those shameless plugs out of the way, Omega, who are you leaning with?
You know what? No, I'm going to go with American Alpha, in spite of what my draft would say. Because at least this way, I win either way.
Now, based off of TV, the revival lost to Gargano and Ciampa. Weird to... It's weird.
Wait, does it count? Does it count from last week?
Things start tomorrow. That was the whole idea, because, you know, there's spoilers and everything. Anyway, the number one contenders lost. Does that mean anything in booking to you?
Usually in... that's actually a tough one.
It's the twist in this whole story.
Yeah. Because I understand wanting to build up the new tag team is strong, especially being top indie guys. Typically, when you have a team lose going into a big event, that's supposed to put you in the mindset of, well, you know, they're kind of cooling down. Maybe they don't have this. So it's supposed to be like a surprise when they do pull it out. Like, that's traditional booking style. NXT rarely does typical booking style, though. Like, thinking long term, like, if they want to do Ciampa and Gargano, you know, going for the belts, you know, would it be for, like, would they go, like, face team, or would they give it back to the revival to do that?
That is the question.
The big question.
I'm not trying to sway your vote in any shape or form. Just throwing out discussion. Sticking with American Alpha?
Yeah.
You have to win them, or you could change your mind.
I know.
For point of reference, everyone can go to youtube.com/rockradioshow and catch the NXT TakeOver of the End Sims that are up there right now. Oh, as 2K16 predicts 4 of these 5 matches, because the new guy doesn't have a creative wrestler yet that I found. So, you get 4 of them. Anyway, moving on. NXT Women's Championship is on the line. Asuka versus Nia Jax. Omega.
You know how I said I was predicting to lose points for this? It's continuing.
Now, based off of traditional booking, Nia laid out Asuka on TV. So, you know, that would make sense for Asuka to win. But unless they're building Nia up to be the strong, dominant female, they could have Asuka lose her first big title defense.
At the same time, they're intentionally putting off a rematch with Bayley, which you would think would be for Brooklyn.
If Brooklyn exists.
if Brooklyn exists. Not the city, the event. Yeah, I think I'll go with the same win no matter what strategy and say Asuka.
Mike, what's your thought?
I would have to say Asuka, because I don't think, well, again, this is NXT, not WWE. I really don't think that they would have her lose it just to make her a transitional champion. So I'm going to have to say Asuka.
Tim picked Asuka as well, which takes us to the main event, NXT Championships Online, Steel Cage. Samoa Joe and Finn Balor, Mike.
You know what? For real, we're just gonna have to go with, Finn Balor. We'll see you at Raw. Samoa Joe wins.
So for 20,000 fantasy points right off the bat, what does Finn Balor come out dressed as? You can't say a demon. And you really don't actually get fantasy points. But, you know, it's a question to throw out there. What kind of demon of Finn will we see? Because they're in Orlando, so you can't go city and, you know,
figure out. Carter.
God. Rage.
Brother Nero.
Brother, oh God. No.
No, he'll be broken Matt Hardy with the white.
Broken Matt Hardy with a big white streak.
Uh-huh.
Dear God, save us all.
Anyway, Omega, what's your thought?
He's throwing plastic babies to the crowd. Finn, come take a club back. I'm going with Joe.
Tim is also going with Samoa Joe. So there you have it. That's NXT not so quick picks, because Tim's internet dropped and we figured, hey, we could talk about it some more. So there you go. That will then take us to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
This week on the all-time greatest is the British Bulldogs. British Bulldog beating Bret Hart in 1992, taking on The Undertaker, sending Edge to hell in 2008. Omega, where's your mind going on this one?
Well, for starters, I forgot we actually had an Ali clip in the intro to the segment. That was weird.
I forgot about that too. Then again, I didn't put it together, so that makes sense why.
God. I will admit to some unfamiliarity with this one. Knowing Undertaker and Edge, I remember fondly because that was especially 2008. That was SmackDown right there.
Yes, it was.
So it was the Edge show and like the Undertaker's locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do remember that they had some very good encounters.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit not being as familiar with the Bulldog and Bret's feuding. Like, I remember them during the Hart Foundation, but not an actual, like, one-on-one. This is unfortunately where I did not have the opportunity to research as I would typically do beforehand.
Right. This was the Bulldogs' big win in SummerSlam, beating Bret Hart for the Intercontinental title in Wembley Stadium in London. You know, the Bulldogs' quote-unquote hometown. So... Yes, it was for the Intercontinental title.
Yep.
So, are you going to go with what you know rather than not remembering the other moment?
The one you know versus the one you have no freaking clue.
No recollection of.
You might as well ask me about a dark match that happened.
So tell me about Papa Shango and El Matador.
Dear God. Rage.
All right, going Undertaker?
Yeah, I'm going Undertaker. Like, sending Edge to hell, that was just... That was a brutal moment. Like, that's such a way of ending off a pay-per-view.
Tim goes with the Bulldog beating Bret Hart, which sends it to Mike.
Fuck. The Mike guy has to break the tie. Jesus. I'm familiar with both of them. Yes. Tim just choke-slamming him and sending his ass to hell. But then again, that's not as worse as Muhammad Hassan. But anyway... for British Bulldog to win it, back in the day, if you had a match for a title in your hometown or in your home turf, that was huge. Mm-hmm. And the way that the crowd reacted the moment they heard the three count, that was amazing. And it just goes to show you that back in the day, you don't get that big of a pop like you used to. So I'm going to have to go with Bret Hart and the British Bulldog.
So you would think that would break the tie, but it doesn't.
Oh, God.
Because, again, fans' vote matters. Fan vote has Undertaker sending Edge to hell with 60% of the vote.
So what?
That ties it back up.
I knew you were my people.
Fuck off.
But then that leaves it up to me. So I get to have a vote in this one. It's Bret Hart losing to the British Bulldog in front of 80,000 people in SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
The WWF title match was not the main event. It was the Intercontinental title match.
Yep.
That on its own right there shows how important that moment was in wrestling history for SummerSlam. I'm going with the British Bulldog beating Bret Hart.
Oh, I thought you were going to be an asshole. It was like, and The Undertaker versus Edge.
That was a cool moment, but this was a bigger moment.
This was a bigger moment because back then, the Intercontinental title was kind of more relevant than the... Okay, next one.
I miss those. Now I'm really sad. Because now The Miz is holding it.
The Miz is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all times.
I should shoot you for that.
Anyway, moving on. The Legion of Doom helped the Hart Foundation defeat the Demolition for the World Tag Team titles in 1990, where Virgil stands up to the Million Dollar Man in 91, Omega.
Of all the classic Virgil moments in WWF history, this is it.
That said,
Doom, Foundation, Demolition, because fuck Virgil.
Mike, who you got? You gonna stand up for your man, Virgil?
The Million Dollar Man treated Virgil like a bitch, and Virgil said, nah, fuck you. I'm standing up, and I'm taking you out, Million Dollar Man. And so the Legion of Doom helps the Hart Foundation beat Demolition. I prefer that one.
Tim picked Legion of Doom as well. But the fans, 50-50 split between the two moments.
I knew you
were not. You're not my people anymore.
But in the end, the Legion of Doom move on. That ends the first round of the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment. We'll have new matchups next week on the all-time greatest, because I don't have the new matchups in front of me right now. Oh, here we go. It'll be the Honky Tonk Man and Ultimate Warrior, or Warrior beating Honky Tonk Man, versus Miss Elizabeth Stripling, taking in that first one, and then Shawn and Hunter from 2002 taking on John Stewart, costing John Cena. That's next week in the all-time greatest. Now, it's Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Since this has become a thing on TV radio, Hurt Saturday Night's Midnight-ish right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, I go to you, Mike. Spell Prince Iaukea. And no Googling.
I like to use a lifeline.
There are no lifelines.
Can I get it in a definition?
Prince Iaukea was a former professional wrestler in World Championship Wrestling.
P-R-I-N-C-E. Jesus Christ, here comes my bonnet. Hold on, Iaukea?
Iaukea.
Fuck.
So now we go to Omega. You are told that you can't use the name TJ Omega or Omega in TNA wrestling. What would your TNA name be?
Why are you making me go to TNA?
Because you are bound for glory to make an impact.
Dear God. Oh my God.
I'd rather play my Genesis.
But this is the sacrifice you're making for us. You're headed to TNA.
This is hard justice, Rock.
But you can do it. You can beat all the odds. Because they're all against you.
Well, as long as I'm in lockdown here.
Fuck you all.
You know, anytime I'm in a pro wrestling game where I get to make a pro wrestler, I always make a guy named Inferno.
So,
probably be that, or it'd be TJ Inferno, something along those lines.
Nice.
As was suggested to me, not Brother Tyler?
Long lost member of 3D.
Stop.
Alright, Mike, You're up. Spell George Hackenschmidt.
Bitch! Fuck you all.
I don't think that's a real name. It's a trick question.
It is a trick question.
No, it's a real name.
I don't believe you.
Don't
George
Google.
What?
Don't start Googling.
I'm not Googling it. I was trying to spell it out.
He's not Googling. He's on Bing.
He's on Bing.
George what?
Hackenschmidt.
Can I get the definition of origin?
The Hackenschmidt clan.
The Hackenschmidt clan.
George Hackenschmidt. Ooh, Jesus, I was about to spell it with a J. G E O R G E. Hackenschmidt?
Hackenschmidt.
H A C K E N S C H M I T. Fuck you all. He gets the easy questions, bitch.
There was a DT at the end.
No, oh, yeah, DT. Look, I'm not into my German.
Okay. And Omega, you are being forced to be either Brother Nero or Broken Matt Hardy. Which one would you be, and why?
Can I spell Iakea? God. You know what? Honestly, it would probably be the Broken Matt Hardy. This is literally the dumbest thing I've seen either of them do.
Jesus.
But it also looks like really stupid fun. I have no idea where Matt Hardy is going with this, but I guarantee you he's enjoying it more than any other gimmick he's done.
Right.
Version 1, I think he had fun doing. Never mind.
King Kids brings up, he'd rather be the plastic baby being tossed. So that will do it for another edition of WTR Sunlight Live here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. Thursday night is another edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rack with myself and Lindsay Ward. We'll be talking NXT TakeOver. We will be talking Brock Lesnar. We will be talking about the injury to Elias Sampson. The hashtag blame Brett moment so far. That does well for someone's fantasy. And all that fun stuff. It is The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher. Search Rack Radio Show on all of them. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsWard, LINSWARD. Or you can check out her Behance at behance.net/LindsWard, which is the same as her Twitter. Saturday Night Midnight-ish is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. You can follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio Live. Facebook.com/CB Radio Live. You can go back and listen to last week's episode at CBRadioLive.com where we played WCW Spelling Bee. We had the Stanley Cup update and he tripped down CB Radio lane. So all that fun stuff at CB Radio Saturday nights, midnight-ish, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio. And we'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's Facebook.com/Group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. And as Tim has mentioned throughout the show, it's TuneIn Radio. When we're live, you can listen to any program. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow Tim on Twitter at Flames Forums. He's also Men Chefs on the Facebooks. At his friend, he will be your friend. And all that fun, happy stuff. Mike is on the Twitter machine at...
Yes, I am, at the WTR Oreo. And yes, follow me and I'll follow you. I'm just excited because next month I will be live at Battleground.
Hey.
So you'll get some footage there.
As I mentioned, it's at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter. You can check out the Twitter poll that's going right now. What fight are you more interested in seeing? CM Punk versus TBD, Brock Lesnar versus TBD, or McGregor versus Diaz? Two, currently in the lead is Brock Lesnar versus TBD. So, go vote at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter. But Omega is all over the internet.
TBD has a lot of fights.
I know.
That paycheck.
Is he related to Vacant?
He probably is.
Stepbrother.
Yes.
Okay. But Omega, you get around on the interwebs.
I get around all over the interwebs. If you want to follow anything I'm doing over on Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. However, everywhere else, it is TJ Omega. That is what the Twitter handle is. That is also the website, tjomega.org, with a bunch of exclusive stuff. And if you want to see everything I post throughout the week, all of it ends up on TJ Omega over on YouTube.
Support the man. Watch his stuff. He does a lot of it for all of you.
I do it for the people. I do it for The Rock. He never watches.
One day. Anyway, for Tim Stein, Omega, Heartbreak Mike, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Sunday night. Live, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 Mountain, for Russell Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.